This is Business Update from the BBC. The main headlines. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in Kenya for talks on a trade deal. The US aircraft maker Boeing is hoping to celebrate 100 years in business with some big new deals. And Britain's finance minister is in New York to reassure international investors over Brexit. I'm Alex Ritson at the BBC's business unit in London. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in Kenya in the latest stop on a tour of Africa. The trip is meant to raise India's profile in energy, trade and investment in Africa, where China's presence has been strong. He's already visited Mozambique, South Africa and Tanzania. Michael Kaloki reports from Nairobi.
Kenya and India have a long-standing business relationship that goes back centuries ago, when spices from India were brought to the coast of Kenya. Prime Minister Modi is due to hold talks with President Uhuru Kenyatta to discuss trade between the two countries. India exports goods worth more than $1 billion to Kenya, while Kenya exports goods just over $39 million to India. The talks between the two leaders are expected to include a discussion on this trade imbalance between the two nations.
Michael Kaloki in Kenya. The US aircraft maker Boeing is celebrating 100 years in business this week. It's currently at the Farnborough Air Show in the UK, where it's showing off its latest products in the hope of securing a number of large deals. Speaking at the air show, Chief Executive Dennis Muilenburg said he was looking forward to the next 100 years.
I started as an engineering intern 30 years ago in Seattle, and it's an extraordinary privilege to lead this company today. I think about how the world has changed over the last century and what aerospace has meant to that change. People walking on Earth to walking on the moon, from riding horses to flying in airplanes and flying in spaceships. Boeing's been involved in that every step of the way. To have the privilege to lead this company now at our centennial is incredible. And I think about the opportunity for future advancement is even greater. New technologies in the commercial airplane arena to continue to make them safer and more efficient and more environmentally friendly. We're looking at higher speed transportation, so you could see a future where supersonic or hypersonic commercial aircraft get you anywhere in the world in an hour or two. And we're now building the first rocket that will take the first human to Mars.
Dennis Muilenburg. Britain's finance minister or chancellor, George Osborne, is in New York today on the first of a series of trade missions designed to calm global investors worried about the prospect of Brexit. In an article for the Wall Street Journal, he says Britain is leaving the EU but not withdrawing from the world. Tony Bonsignore reports.
For months, he warned that a vote for Brexit was a vote for economic disaster. Today, George Osborne travels to New York with a very different message, that Britain remains open for business and that global investors shouldn't be worried. The immediate priority will be to try and reassure Wall Street banks that London's position as a global financial centre is secure. Some are reportedly considering whether to shift staff to other EU cities. But the overall aim is a broader one. In an article in today's Wall Street Journal, the Chancellor promises that Britain won't react to last month's vote by becoming a more insular, less tolerant country. Instead, he says it will become more outward-looking and global-facing, starting by forging a closer economic relationship with North America. The government says similar trips are planned to China and Singapore over the next fortnight.
Tony Bonsignore, a few moments ago, the FTSE 100 up 48 points at 66.39. This is the BBC in London.
This is the business update from the BBC World Service.
Other numbers, a euro buys $1.10.5 US cents, the pound trading at $1.30. Say you're a company, you have a corporate strategy and you want to communicate it to your employees, perhaps also to the world. Don't go there without listening first to some essential advice courtesy of our regular commentator, Lucy Kellaway of the Financial Times.
Up above, the sky was blue and cloudless. On the ground, thousands of people stood facing a stage flanked by screens. Loud music thumped. It could have been Glastonbury, if you didn't look too closely at the crowd, many of whom were in formal jackets and shirts. No one was swaying to the music. A few arms were raised bearing phones to capture what was possibly the most embarrassing corporate rebranding ever. Thus, Siemens chose to tell its staff that henceforth its 120-year-old healthcare division was to be known as Siemens Healthineers. On stage, a couple of dozen badly coordinated dancers in turquoise and orange spandex bodysuits gyrated to a lyric that went, "One vision, one mission, one focus, one name, one dream, one team." building up to the mighty chorus, "We are, we are, we are healthineers." The video of the event on YouTube is an object lesson to companies everywhere of how silly you look when you ignore three basic rules of corporate communication. The first says that large companies must never turn to song. There is not a single example of a business putting its values to music without mass humiliation following. There was that terrible rendition of U2's One at Bank of America, in which a balding banker pretended to be Bono. Then there was the Ernst & Young recruitment song, "Oh Happy Day When Ernst & Young Showed Me a Better Way," featuring accountants swaying and clapping out of time. The second rule is to resist portmanteau names, in which respectable words, in this case health, engineers and pioneers, are cut up and glued together to create something monstrous. Recent corporate examples include InnoValue, Sustainagility, Edgenuity and Ideation. Occasionally a company pulls it off. A few decades ago, Bill Gates and Paul Allen created the rather successful Microsoft, though I dare say with those two it would have flourished whatever the name. The third law says that claiming to be one team with one dream doesn't make you so. It just makes you look stupid. One is the biggest corporate trend of the moment. There's one Heinz, one Sony, even one Microsoft. Every company that wants to show it isn't in a muddle launches a One program. What does it mean? And how can companies be so enthusiastic about being one, while at the same time banging on about diversity? Explaining the new name, the CEO of Siemens Healthineers recently said, "Our new name expresses our identity as a people company." In that case, he's forgotten that people, unlike MRI machines, can feel embarrassment and are most disinclined to feel more warmly about their jobs after receiving trite messages at 110 decibels and watching dancers in orange and blue spandex writhing. This is Lucy Kellaway for the BBC World Service.
Lucy Kellaway. Shares in Japanese gaming company Nintendo have jumped by nearly a quarter following the success of its new Pokemon Go smartphone app. It debuted at the top of gaming charts in the US last week and is set to be released in Japan soon. Pokemon Go requires users to try to catch on-screen characters like Pikachu, who are hiding in the real world using what is known as augmented reality. Millions of users have already downloaded the game. The game was downloaded onto more US Android smartphones than the dating application Tinder within a day of its launch, according to data from SimilarWeb. It has already generated headlines from armed robbers using it to lure gamers into a trap to a person discovering a dead body in a river while searching for a Pokemon character. The rally in Nintendo's shares since the debut of Pokemon Go on the 6th of July has added more than $7 billion to the company's market value. And another technology story making headlines, Manchester City Football Club has signed a new young player, but one who will never set foot on the pitch. Instead, 18-year-old Kieran Kes-Brown joins the club as its first esports player. He will represent the club at esports tournaments, playing the computer game FIFA. Esports is increasingly seen as a lucrative spin-off for football clubs. Top-ranking FIFA players travel around the world to compete for titles and cash prizes. Don't forget, there's plenty more always on our website, the address bbcnews.com/business. For now, that's all from this edition of World Business Report.